It's Marketplace Tech for September 23rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, some in the UK are bracing for an attack, but it's not in the physical world. It's the threat of a hacking attack from ISIS. The threat was made by the jihadist group on a video and flagged by the company Site Intel Group, which monitors social media for terror threats. This got us wondering how a government or organization might prepare for hacking attacks. So we called up our friend Chester Wisniewski of the cybersecurity firm Sophos. Hi, Chester.
Hey, Ben.
So I'm familiar, at least living in New York City, when there's some sort of threat of terrorism, you might see increased police presence or something like that. What happens when there is a threat of hacking?
Well, presumably a lot of memos get sent and people get a little panicky. And it's a very, very difficult problem when you consider the millions of computers on the internet that represent any given government. And of course, any attacker can claim victory by simply getting into one of them.
Chester, what forms might a hacking attack from ISIS take?
Well, it's a pretty broad spectrum, but what we've seen in the past in these types of situations are things like a denial of service attack, in essence, inundating websites that represent the government with so much traffic they can't respond to legitimate requests. We've seen sort of scanning of large amounts of systems, looking for ones that might have their defenses a little lower where they can break in and steal some information to publish, all the way on through to trying to disrupt critical infrastructure, which we haven't really seen ever in an attack like this. And fingers crossed we won't see it this time.
I would assume that Sophos has customers in the UK. Are you guys taking this seriously?
Well, we're always on guard. And of course, the goal is never to let someone compromise your network or steal your information or even take you offline. So I don't know that you can, you know, raise the defense level beyond the 10. I guess, you know, we can try to dial it up to 11, but it's rather difficult.
Chester Wisniewski of the cybersecurity firm Sophos. Chester, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
$7.2 billion. That's how much Volkswagen has set aside for defending itself following the company's emissions scandal. 11 million vehicles have apparently had the software on them, which could help cheat on emissions tests. Just a little more on the technology part of this. This piece of firmware, as it's called, detects when certain things are happening to the vehicle to know when an emissions test might be in progress. Here's Dave Sullivan at Auto Pacific.
Right near where your feet are at or your knees are at on the driver's side underneath the instrument panel, there's a port. If that's plugged in, there's certain barometric pressure, and there's a couple other variables that, if they're all present, the car would go into the test mode.
An interesting reminder that more and more our cars are machines that are driven with software, and as we all know, software can be used for good or evil. I'm going to let you in on a dirty little secret. Online influence can be bought. Okay, maybe that's not a secret in 2015, but it is kind of amazing to find a whole economy that's sprung up around the idea that your brand can pay to become famous on the internet. Kashmir Hill did an experiment for Fusion's tech website Real Future. She starts by telling me about her made-up karaoke truck called the Freaking Awesome Karaoke Experience and how she used the gig economy website Fiverr to drum up some fake online support for her fake business.
You can buy 7,000 Twitter followers for $5. You can buy 200 Facebook fans for $5. And then you can buy, and this is what I found the most ethically troubling, reviews. So I spent $21 to buy 19,000 followers for fake.
Cheap.
That's really cheap. When I tell people about this, particular reporters, you know, nowadays your following matters. People look at that. It helps actors get jobs.
Right.
It helps journalists get jobs.
Right.
It helps you decide whether to go to a business or not. They were like, oh, only $20? Am I going to have like a huge following? Where did you buy those followers?
Yeah, exactly. Did anyone find you out? And what were those interactions like?
No one found me out. I know, that's crazy, but the internet really like breathed life into this thing and people totally believed that it existed. I was getting phone calls. I felt really, really bad about this because I would get phone calls from people and they'd be like, oh, I have a birthday coming up and this would be perfect. I was like waiting. At some point, one of these people is going to go on my pages and say, this thing is like, is crap. They never called me back, but they never did that. I also actually was getting calls from Yelp, and I was like, oh, Yelp must have busted me. But in fact, they were just calling to say, hey, you should really buy ads on Yelp. It'll help your business.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the wisdom of the crowd doesn't really work in this scenario.
It isn't. But you know who did kind of catch me was Yelp did figure out that, and I don't know how they did this, but they gathered that the reviews were fake. And so they put most of them behind this click wall and said they weren't recommended.
The people that you were buying reviews from, followers from, et cetera, I mean, did you have any sort of deeper conversations with them about the transaction?
When I was giving them money, there were no questions asked. They were not curious about why I was doing this at all. But then I approached them as a journalist. And so when I told them, you know, I was undercover, you wrote this completely fake review for a non-existent karaoke truck, they were a little chagrined. Most people admitted they knew this is illegal. False advertising is a crime. But they said they feel bad for businesses because, like, you need reviews to get customers in.
Kashmir Hill is a senior editor at Fusion. She edits its Real Future Technology site. Kashmir, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.